COVID-19 has ravaged our communities for going on 2 years now, but let's take a moment now to focus in on another disease that targets your lungs and respiratory system, valley fever. You might have heard of it, but you might not know it's caused by breathing in a fungus in the dust. And Arizona leads the country in valley fever infections. About two-thirds of the nearly 100,000 documented cases in recent years happened here, and it disproportionately affects people of color. But a lot is still not known about this disease or why it's known as what one expert called a, quote, disease of color. Shayna Montanari covers health disparities for the Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting, and she has been digging into valley fever recently, and I spoke with her more about it.
So every week when I receive the infectious disease report from the health department, you know, I look at what diseases are getting diagnosed, and I always notice valley fever or coccidioidomycosis, as it's listed, the official scientific name, has really high numbers. And so, you know, I thought beyond just the number of people that are impacted, who is impacted by this? Mm-hmm. And that's sort of what I like to do in my work, is see if there's any disparities in who's impacted by these diseases. And so, you know, we know that just from research for the past 100 years that people of color, African-American and Filipino people specifically, are always listed as being disproportionately impacted by the most serious form of valley fever. And also people who work outdoors, who are around a lot of dust, because that's how the fungus gets carried through the air. So, you know, I was wondering if there's specific jobs in Arizona or specific groups of people who are more impacted than others. And when I went to look for that data, it was actually very hard to find because some of it doesn't really exist.
And I want to get into that in a moment, but let's back up for a second and talk a little bit about how valley fever spreads, because it is interesting and a little unique in terms of when you think about diseases, right? This is a fungal disease.
Right. Yeah, this is a fungal disease, and fungal diseases are not very common in general. And most of them, you know, you would never come across. But this one is actually quite prevalent in the Southwest, California and Arizona, specifically in Arizona the most. We have the most cases in the United States, and about two-thirds of the cases are from Arizona compared to California, even though it was originally discovered in California. So this is when very small fungal spores blow through the air and you breathe them in. So just by being outside, you can be exposed to these spores anywhere in urban and rural environments, anywhere that there's dirt and dust, effectively.
Yeah. And how likely is it that if you get valley fever, you will get really sick or, you know, God forbid, die?
Yeah, luckily, it's pretty rare that you get very sick and die. Last year, there were 39 people who died from valley fever, and that's out of over 10,000 known cases.
Wow.
So it's a small percentage, but, you know, about under 10% of people can have long-term lung issues because this primarily manifests like a flu, lung, cough. So it actually resembles COVID. Mm-hmm. And so that's been interesting to study, I think, for a lot of the researchers. But yeah, it's a very small percentage. But, you know, in those, when the numbers of cases are high, the small percentage is actually a lot of people in the state.
Hmm. So let's talk a little bit more about this sort of inequity in this that you mentioned at the beginning. Like, what did you find about the disproportionate impact that this disease can have on people of color, and why might that be?
Right. So I talked to Dr. John Galgiani, who's the director of the Valley Fever Center for Excellence at University of Arizona, because he does a lot of research on this question. You know, basically for 100 years when valley fever was discovered, the original scientists who discovered it saw that Black people and Filipino people were dying and getting much sicker than white people. Huh. And ever since then, that stat's been kind of thrown around, but why is the question? And one thing that Dr. Galgiani is studying is something that's called immunogenetics. So it's how your genes influence your immune system. So they've researched that there's a couple types of genes that may let valley fever have easier access, and that your immune system doesn't get as fired up as it could in other people. Mm-hmm. Because in most cases, 60%, they say, that are mild or asymptomatic of valley fever. So it's a very small percentage of people who get very sick. But why, you know, why is the question that's still not totally been answered? Because it can't just be genetics. That would be a very small number, and more people do get seriously ill than just would be explained by genetics, according to the experts. So that's something that researchers really want to figure out.
Hmm. So they know that there is this correlation, but they really still don't know why.
Yeah, exactly. And they do pretty detailed epidemiological investigations, looking at case records of people who have gotten really sick, but When I was looking at data, you know, to look for a larger study, that's actually been harder to come by because of the way case data is collected in general.
Is this a problem in funding for research, staffing for research, just the way the state collects and tracks this?
This is not particularly a funding issue. It's more of a side effect of the way that these diseases are picked up. So they're picked up through laboratory blood tests. And the laboratories need to report a positive test to the health department. Mm-hmm. And with that, they don't have to send a lot of information. It's in the health code, the administrative code. It, you know, race and ethnicity is not something that necessarily comes along with that information. So it kind of gets lost. And even CDC reports have noted that Arizona has the least complete race and ethnicity data in relation to Valley fever of any state in the country.
So Shayna, it seems like, you know, there's a lot that we don't know about this, especially considering, you know, 10,000 cases in a year and it's so prevalent here in the Southwest. Are you surprised by that? And what else would you like to know? What else do you think would be useful to know going forward in order to make this, you know, less impactful, less deadly for people?
Right. I mean, there's so much that researchers still want to know. I think by the nature of the disease, that it's a fungal disease and they're rare. Valley fever is still known as what's called an orphan disease. It doesn't have as many cases as some other viral or bacterial illnesses. So it's sort of like on the side. It doesn't necessarily get as much funding or attention as other mm-hmm. diseases get. So more research would definitely help these researchers, you know, figuring out if there's an occupational risk and how to reduce it. And also, since it just involves going outside and breathing in, is there any way that it can be prevented?
Right.
I also talked to some scientists, but even researchers at NASA, who are trying to figure out ways to detect the fungal particles in the air on really dusty days. So maybe it can warn people certain areas that they shouldn't go in if it's really dusty. And, you know, I think just more awareness will help people learn more about it. Because if, you know, there's a lot of people out there, when you talk about Valley fever outside of Arizona, no one really knows about it, but it could be spreading as the weather and climate changes too.
All right, that is Shayna Montanari, health disparities reporter with the Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting, joining us. Shayna, thank you so much for taking the time to come on. Great reporting.
Thank you so much, Lauren.